That brings us to item three, which is walking in Tsim Sha Tsui. For this item, members may refer to paper number TFK/01/2012 entitled Connectivity at Tsim Sha Tsui and Hong Kong Waterfront, as well as our last minutes. In this agenda item, there will be two presentations. I would like to welcome the following representatives to the meeting. So for pedestrian connectivity in Tsim Sha Tsui Harbourfront, from Transport Department, Mr. Albert Lee, yes, Chief Traffic Engineer, Stroke Kowloon. And then for walking in Tsim Sha Tsui, from Civic Exchange, I think it's Doctor, right? Dr. Simon Ng, Head of Transport and Sustainability Research. And then Designing Hong Kong Limited, Mr. Paul Zimmerman, CEO, and Ms. Eva Tam, Project Manager. I would like to invite members to declare interest if you have any. If not, then first of all, yes, Peter.
I just noticed on the agenda, number three, is a presentation by Mr. Paul Zimmerman. Could get his capacity properly enter in the agenda, because he could be misinterpreted as a member of the task force.
Mm-hmm. Right. So may I confirm that for this particular item, Paul will be a presenter representing Designing Hong Kong.
Thank you.
Confirmed, Paul? All right. Thank you very much. So may I now invite Mr. Lee of Transport Department to present paper number TFK/06/2012. Please limit your presentation to 10 minutes.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman, and good afternoon, members. The paper is a very short, brief one, but it gives members an overview of the existing pedestrian connectivity in Tsim Sha Tsui Harbourfront. So, the present situation of the arrangement is basically consists of street level crossing and grade separated walking facilities, and basically connecting the Tsim Sha Tsui Harbourfront and its hinterland. So we have footpaths on all the directions running and part of the public road networked, as shown in the grey colored lines on the PowerPoint, and also the grey separated crossings across the Salisbury Road, basically the subways, which is in green color, and also the elevated walkway in brown colors. Those in the pink colors are ramps connecting to the footbridge. And apart from that, we have a number of as you have seen, the yellow-colored network, which is a great position to connect the skeleton from the other side of, after passing through the Salisbury Road, all the way to the waterfront. So it adds together, it covers a wide coverage of elevated walkway and subway system, providing a safe and comfortable walking environment. And particularly, it is a very safe passage which is separate from vehicular traffic. And as a matter of fact, we have already provided the barrier-free access provisions all along these at grade crossing facilities. As you all recognize that we can't, at the moment, pedestrians from the hinterland, after passing through the getting through the green lined footpath connecting to the elevated or subways connections, they were able to go through right to the waterfront. And we have a number of aggregate crossings at which is basically at the star house, facilitating the area operation in that particular aspect. So I basically outlined the present situations of the arrangement, and there was a few photos showing the present arrangement. For For instance, we got several photographs showing the existing situation of the footway or the connecting. And also, we have an MTR exit right at the spot that I mentioned near to the so-called department store. The photo number one, according to the scale, which is according to the sketch, is outside the cultural center. And number two, the one, is along the Star Avenue. Number three, which is a subway exit to the Salisbury Road. And you can refer that to the plans what are in the previous PowerPoint. And number four is a Peking Road connection with an entrance to the subway. And number five, again, a Nathan Road, Salisbury Road junction subway entrance, which provide a clean and convenient connections. Number six, according to the plan, is here, is along the it's a subway connecting between the Chatham Road South or near to the Chatham Road South, with number seven, an elevated walkway going through all the way to the waterfront, spanning across the Salisbury Road. And number eight, lastly, is a ramp connection on the northeast side of that network, leading to Hong Kong Bypass on one direction, and the other one, number nine, another photograph on the opposite side. So, as the present situation, all the above pedestrian network were provided for convenient use of the pedestrians and easy access to the harbourfront with a safe and convenient network. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Albert. Let us have the comments after the second presentation. Dr. Ng and Mr. Zimmerman, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for having me and Paul here to share with you some preliminary findings of our research on walkability in Hong Kong. And for today's presentation, we try to focus mainly on the situation in Tsim Sha Tsui and based on our research finding what we can do to further improve the walking environment in Tsim Sha Tsui area. Now, first of all, I think everyone would agree with me that walking is good to health and to the environment, and this is something that we should pursue more. And as a matter of fact, I think every one of us is a pedestrian every day without probably not knowing that. And for that reason, I think recently in other parts of the world, governments, city governments try to look for or go for pedestrian first kind of planning. And I think this is something that that's been lacking in Hong Kong, and this is something that we should try to, you know, seriously consider in the near future.
Sorry, Simon, to interrupt. I forgot to mention. Please make your presentation
within
10 minutes.
I think I will only have 2 minutes, and then I will leave the other, you know, minutes to Paul.
The whole presentation. 10 minutes,
yes, I know. Now, anyway, I think I also want to stress 2 points. One is pedestrian network is not just a corridor for pedestrian flow or, you know, people's movement. I think this is also a very important public space in the city. And to make it more interesting and, you know, attractive is one important task for us in Hong Kong. That would make people want to walk more and walk for longer distance. And secondly, if we can improve the walking environment, which means we have to remove some of the obstacles on streets, we have to improve connectivity, we have to reduce the kind of conflict that we have as pedestrians with vehicles every day, then we've got a better chance to have a, you know, better, you know, quality of standards in Hong Kong, which means by improving walkability, basically we can also improve the livability of the city. I think this is not just for people in Hong Kong, but also for tourists, for those who, you know, need to walk around every day in Hong Kong. And something that we should try to do in the future. Now, for our study, there are three key components. One is to do some research and find out, you know, what's been happening elsewhere in the world. Secondly, we have an envisioning component. We went into four different districts and tried to find out, you know, how good or bad they are doing in terms of the working environment and the facilities, and try to recommend different measures to improve the situation. Now, thirdly, we try to also do a little bit of engagement, but this is not the key of this phase of the project. For the second part, which is related to a lot of field works, we did a few studies in March and April this year, including Central and Tsim Sha Tsui, which constitutes the what we call the harbourfront area, and we also go into Mong Kok, which is an old urban area in Hong Kong. Now, lastly, we also went into Ma On Shan, which is, you know, a new town with a rural setting. Now, for each of the sites, we try to ask people to walk different routes and to get a feel of, you know, the walking environment, how well or how bad the walk is, not just for those who have an understanding of the district, but also for those who have no idea about this. It's just like a tourist. So as they walk into the area without any previous information about the area, the district, how are they going to navigate? With limited signage or with maybe poor connectivity. So these are the kind of things that we try to find out and try to consolidate in our final report in the next month. Now, we also ask people to bring a luggage or to push a pram. So we not just look for, you know, working environment for able body, but also look for the working environment for those who have special needs. So with that, I will pass it over to Paul to talk about his passion, and that is Tsim Sha Tsui. Thank you.
My passion. Thanks, Simon. So I focused just on the Tsim Sha Tsui one. Tsim Sha Tsui is, of course, an important tourist destination. If we look at the tourist destination from Hong Kong Tourism Board, we can see the Avenues of Stars, Clock Tower. Tsim Sha Tsui is within the top 10 destinations. So we get a significant amount of tourists here. If you look at the photographs uploaded on Flickr taken in Hong Kong, you can see the concentration of photographs. You can identify where tourists spend their time. It's clearly the people in Tsim Sha Tsui, but the tourists spend their time along the Nathan Road corridor and in the waterfront to take pictures. So this is a clear indication. This is a study done by from the PolyU, McCurcher, and he put wristbands on tourists in return for a nice dinner. And you can see from the GPS recorders where people spent their time. In this case, the hotels are identified with these very high tall markings, because that's where they spent their time. But you can see, otherwise, you can see a support basically for the findings from Flickr in terms of the areas in Tsim Sha Tsui where people, where the tourists spent their time. So bottom line, the tourism corridor of Nathan Road and the waterfront is extremely important for Hong Kong. We did the survey, and the walking routes have just been identified by Simon. The starting point for each OD, or origin and destination, the starting point has always been not a station on purpose. Because in general, our finding is that when you take the station as a starting point, then the connections are pretty good, because the MTR spent a lot of money on putting good connection in place between their station and other places. However, we looked at the district and the area connectivity. So in this particular case, in Tsim Sha Tsui, we took K11 as a starting point, and we had various destinations, Avenue Stars, Art Museum, Marco Polo Hotel, and the West Kowloon Cultural District. Now, this is a big chart, and I've tried to identify in yellow a little bit on the findings here. So if this is the from K11 to Avenues of Stars, OD1, the direct distance, bird flight is 472 meters. However, the walking distance for the shortest distance is 720 meters. And the energy distance, which takes into account the level changes, and every level change is about four times in terms of distance from a flat walk, based on the findings from Yang Gel, who is now also working on Kowloon East. So you see that the level changes are reflected in energy distance and the time taken in the 15 minutes. Now, the shortest walk is done by somebody who knows the area, works there, lives there. The visitor walk is done by somebody who doesn't know the area. And you see that if you give them the same OD, that people have problems finding the shortest route. The distance walked goes up from 720 to 1.1 kilometers, and the time walking goes up from to about 19 minutes. So you see, it costs time to find your way, and it takes a long walk. The pram walk, which we didn't do everywhere because it was a lot of effort, on OD3, which is the K11 to Marco Polo Hotel, we walked it with a pram. And you can see that in this particular case, for that OD, you get about 700 meters, goes up to 950 meters, and your time to walk goes up from 12 minutes to about 18 minutes. So you can see this from these. What you can see is not necessarily easy to find your way. Visitors take a lot more time to find their way. And you can also see that there is quite a number of obstacles for disabled people to get around the town. Now, once you start measuring this in more than one district, you start to do comparison. You can see percentages. You can see a rate of difficulty in a particular district versus another district. The common issues find is that there are long detours and level changes. Now, we've just seen from the transport department, you've seen the footbridges, and in this particular case, Tin Chai Choi is not dominated by footbridges, but is dominated by subways. Central is dominated by footbridges, so the alternative network is elevated. In Tin Chai Choi, the alternative network is subway. That causes long detours and level changes. There are obstacles in the street. There are, as for disabled and people with disability problems, there are as universal access problems, but also finding the universal access is a big problem. You'll see a lot of people standing in the street looking for the direction to go, as well documented in the Ming Pao Weekly article that I've distributed. There's problems with street aesthetics. Our streets are not necessarily very pretty, and there are obstacles in finding your way, and I will hit on those points for Tin Chai Choi. So the unique issues in Tin Chai Choi, really there is a lot of problems with getting across the road in many places. We take the map of Tin Chai Choi and we highlight the walking, the areas where you can walk at street level. This is indicated here in black. So in the waterfront, we have lots of space to walk. As you can see, large areas for people to walk around. The red marking is basically the segregator. There is no at-grade crossing for this section. So you see, and as you remember, the photographs taken by tourists, the Nathan Road corridor and the waterfront is entirely segregated by this barrier. It's a big obstacle. You can see in the other areas here, you've got walkability quite good. You got here good walkability.
10 minutes here, now.
Got here good walkability. I'll do my best to go through this as quick as possible. If you get bored, let me know. This is the subway network. Now, kind of an interesting observation you can see from the subway network is that in terms of the Nathan Road waterfront corridor, there is a big gap here. You see that when you're at subway level, you cannot get across the road here. You'll have to divert either this way or you have to divert the other way around. But there is no direct link along the Nathan Road across. And in fact, if you get out of the station here, you'll have to walk along street level, take down the subway again, walk through this up again, down again. So you have a big detour. So there's no direct connection to the subway. So not only is it disconnected at ground level, it's also disconnected at subway level. And this is causing a lot of confusion. Black is here, the subway, the network. This is the subway, yeah. So this is the black at street level, walkable at street level. This is walkable at subway level. I just drop in these two maps here because I point out to you that the MTR map, which is the base map here, does not show the map from the highways department, nor does it show the map of the Canton Road properties. So whatever maps you see at the ground level are not complete. At subway level in the MTR system are incomplete.
Yeah, Paul. Yes. Paul, about being bored, okay?
I'll move on.
I would allow you 5 more minutes, and
thank
please
you very
stop
much.
By then.
So this is the elevated. This is the subway level shown separately. This is the elevated level. This is to show you quickly that in Tin Chai Choi we don't have an integrated elevated network. So you can see again here. This is the purple one is quite disparate. I'm going to go into this further. I've identified to you the incomplete mapping system. So I've identified to you the incomplete networks at both subway and at street level. Identified to you that the networks are not mapped consistently. If we route the black lines here, people to the waterfront along the main corridor, you can see the divergence here. There used to be the red line was possible. We had the street level crossing, which we urged for the transport department to put back into place. But if the transport department is not going to do that, they should definitely provide this direct connection at subway level. And this is identified here again. The dotted line shows the disconnect at a subway level, and the question is whether you can get a direct line. The other problem that we found as we tried to navigate through the area, and Margaret was asking me, are you going to say something about my park, is that the park is an obstacle. The park is designed for people to be inside the park rather than to walk through the park. But there is, especially in the future with West Kowloon here, people will want to walk from many destinations on this side and this side through to West Kowloon. So the ability to penetrate the park and find yourself a short route to it rather than having to circumvent your way through all kind of obstacles is going to be critical. And LCSD is invited to redesign their park to make sure we have maximized, so that you're not a park, you're a place for people to walk through. The obstacles are clear. I think these pictures are very clear to everybody about what we find on our streets. This reduces the effective walking width everywhere in Hong Kong, and these problems are found everywhere throughout Tsim Sha Tsui too. A very interesting observation we did is that all the maps used throughout Hong Kong show north the wrong way around. You walk through MTR station, north is not north. It is a very silly concept, but it means that people constantly have to reorientate them when they look at a map. A tourist will look at a map at several points in time along its route, and every time he arrives at a map, he has to look differently at the map. So all maps should point north, and we should have a convention in Hong Kong that we all do that instead of turning the maps around. And this is just, you'll find this if you go through Hong Kong. Signage, because the networks are run by different organizations, MTR, property developers, the highways department, all signs are different. The names of the exits are different. They're inconsistent too. This interesting. Here's the MTR in front of the peninsula will tell you to go right, and here in front of SOGO tells you to go to the peninsula. So the two MTR signs on that side of the waterfront point in two different directions, only about 30 meters away from each other. I've already met the issues. So the recommendations really is to plan for district networks, not just for station networks, to prioritize pedestrian connectivity at street level, with the crossing at Salisbury Road in front of the peninsula to be returned and the crossing of Kowloon Park Drive to be reconsidered. To widen the effect of footway by removing obstacles and widening the pavements, and to integrate parks and properties in the planning of pedestrian networks. So what we just saw from the highways, then the transport department, they don't show you these things, they only show you their area of responsibility. On the great separated network, which people love as additional facility rather than as the prime facility, to consolidate the below-the-ground links as one network, expand the underground network, as I've indicated earlier, and to provide a direct link from the MTR station to the waterfront rather than the circumvented route that we have now. For branding, for the great separated network, the subway network, let's try to find one name and one icon. Let's name each tunnel and probably be the same name as the road above, so people know where they are. Extend the visual identities of properties above ground to the underground, so you can see which building you are standing at, rather than that you feel that you're in an MTR tunnel everywhere. Standardize the direction signage to the entrances outside. Make sure that the MTR and the TD and everybody has one set of systems, one naming system, one mapping systems, and so on. And make the subway fun. Shops, seating, busking, but right now they're boring. So enhanced wayfinding in the city, we'll need to develop a mapping system for the layered city. It's very difficult with the current mapping system to get people to come around. We have to recognize Hong Kong is a unique situation. We'll have to develop a mapping system that works for a multi-layered city, which doesn't exist anywhere in the world as it does in Hong Kong, definitely for Central and for Tsim Sha Tsui. We have to have navigation applications for handheld and other devices, make sure that north is north, create a consolidated pedestrian information system irrespective of ownership, and have single naming system for entrances and exits. Then we have to enhance the wayfinding for barrier-free access. people that have a hard time walking around the city should not have a hard time finding how to get around the city. And right now, it is very difficult for them. In the navigation of a layered city, we had some firms looking at it. This is a way of, and I don't have much time to go into the detail of it, but I'll try to point out by this close-up here is we have to find out a way of showing people how to get around the city. In this case, we're using white to indicate street-level connectivity. We're using another color to use elevated connectivity and other colors to use subway connectivity. The moment you put it together, you have a problem. So we'll have to find a way of coming up with a mapping system, and TD has to recognize it's so specific, it needs a firm to look at it and develop it. The London map was a major advancement in the world in terms of mapping, and the London map for the underground was a major advancement for mapping of undergrounds. Hong Kong will now have to take the lead and come up with a mapping system that works for a multi-layered city. We're unique in the world, and we have to find a solution. Thank you.
Thank you very much, all the three presenters. Members may also like to note that the Secretariat has tabled the Tsim Sha Tsui Station location map and the East Tsim Sha Tsui Station location map for your reference that has been provided by the Mass Transit Railway Corporation Limited. Before I invite members to give comments, I just want to ask a very quick clarification question for the second presentation. So I can, in terms of methodology, I can see that you have some of these distances and time. I just wonder, how do you come up with the visitors walk? Different visitors would have different choices of their walking path. So can you give us some information about that? How do you come up with one visitor walk?
Madam Chair, I think obviously we don't have time to invite different or more than one visitor to go into our study areas to have a different walk. What we're trying to do is to demonstrate with a very simple method the difference between an insider walk, which is someone who live or work in that area, and to compare that with someone who has no advanced knowledge about that particular area. This is just to show that, for example, for the mapping system or for the signage system, we have to cater for the need for everyone, not just for those who know the area quite well, but also for those who have no idea about the area. Because for tourists, for example, they would like to explore, they would like to go into different districts, not just the tourist attraction points in Hong Kong, but also in, for example, I met some tourists in Ma On Shan walking along the promenade. So it's quite a long way for them, but for them who have the interest to go to the promenade and to try to have that experience, I think we also have to try and help them to navigate in that particular part of Hong Kong. So this is just as a demonstration of the difference between, you know, difficulties faced by, you know, different people.
So in short, one person who is a Hong Kong person but does not live or work in that particular area.
So you have one person walking from this origin destination, and then you come up with this statistic. Thank you. I just want to understand. Yeah, thank you.
Madam Chair, may I clarify? That means you only get a sample size of one to come up with this table? Have you conduct a rather widespread research to ensure there's sufficient sample size on the average distance or time you achieve in this table?
Okay. I think I need to clarify again. This is not supposed to be a research paper. This is supposed to be an exercise to raise public awareness about the walking environment in Hong Kong. And in doing that, we don't want to focus on, you know, the feeling or the need of Hong Kong people or local people. We also want to explore and consider the needs for people coming from other parts of the world to Hong Kong, or even for those who live in one particular district in Hong Kong without any good knowledge about an area that he might or she might need to go. We didn't try to develop a comprehensive or complicated research methodology to have enough sample size. I think based on the table on your screen, it already speaks volume about, you know, what kind of problem we are facing. And with that, I'm sure we can go back and look for more funding and try to do more thorough research. I think this is what we're trying to do. But for a piece of exercise that we only have like 6 months, I think it's a matter of how we try to tell a story and to make sure that everyone get excited and get interested and try to pull in more resources to do it together. I think this is our key, not just for a think tank like Civic Change or Design in Hong Kong, but also for different government departments to come in and try to, you know, play a role as well.
Thank you. Yeah, point taken. So I think this is an important topic, and there's quite a number of points that are being raised. So perhaps now I can invite members to comment on that, and perhaps we can also specifically look at some of the concrete recommendations from the second presentation as well. Peter Cocken-Smith.
Well, I completely agree with Simon from Civic Exchange. I think the pedestrian network is fundamental to the perception of the city, really, and its recreation and its amenity. And we know that we're massively lacking in that respect. This essentially, of course, does mean as much segregation between pedestrians and roads as possible. I think somebody did mention at the beginning safety and convenience, and we can be quite pleased with that. But, of course, whilst being important, ideally we need really much more than that. We get too much functionalism in Hong Kong and convenience, but we don't actually get much that's interesting and stimulating, which we certainly need to apply to a pedestrian environment. I like the way the field study was carried out. Visitor walks should ideally coincide with regular walks. You know, we shouldn't be having to make this difference. The fact is that both connectivity and wayfinding in Tsim Sha Tsui is terrible. Terrible pavements and totally inadequate signage. And again, I agree with Simon, we don't need extensive research and public consultation to clarify this. The implications from what we see are quite obvious. So the three main issues, as far as I can see, are firstly, how easily people can get to the harbourfront, promenades and the associated spaces, how easily they can find these connections and how comfortable this process is, and how interesting and stimulating we actually do experience the harbourfront area when we get there. Just in passing, as far as I know, there is a proposed link proposed between Kowloon Park and West Kowloon. It's actually built into the plan, although I don't suppose it'll be built for some time. So we have essentially, as far as I can see, two areas of concern. Can we recommend betterment of the connections and their actually identification to members of the public, visitors, whoever? And we do still, I think, you know, need to sort of bring the argument back to the fundamental aspect of the waterfront itself. We still need far more attention to the Tsim Sha Tsui harbourfront, which actually has very little interest or attraction. And again, just a final suggestion, I would suggest that perhaps at a future meeting we get the ASD to present their proposals, because they are regenerating the landscape around the arts complex. And they're interfacing with a project that we're doing, so we could probably get consultants in to talk about the open space in connection with the New World development, because these do connect directly into the promenade. Thank you.
Peter Cooley-Smith, you say ASD?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Carlos, and then Nick.
Yes, I think in general, I think I welcome the all the recommendations from Civic Exchange and Design in Hong Kong. But I think this, some of the whether this the recommendation can solve the problem, I think we need to have questions about a few concepts that you need to clarify before you can really make sure that your recommendation will really work. There are two points here. The first one is the concept of walkability. I don't know how you define walkability and operationalize it, and whether your recommendation really address all these issues. Able to. I think that's the first one. The second point is about, I don't know whether you just focus on the connectivity or accessibility here in your recommendation without any consideration of the capacity, given that you have just shown that it's a highly dense, there are a lot of people, just including tourists, people working there, all people, it's a hub for all people to walk along. So, have you taken into consideration of also the capacity alongside with connectivity and also accessibility? So, and how can we calculate, how do we have a formula to calculate whether existing the network, walkway network, able to accommodate all this kind of demand, given that we have different people have different objectives here. So I think this is, you need to have a better scheme. Otherwise, all this recommendation looks rational and reasonable, but I don't know whether they can fundamentally solve the problem if we don't have a yardstick to measure. The final point is addressed to the Transport Department. So all these recommendations actually are quite obvious. Yeah, I think it's quite reasonable to most of us, but I don't know why related departments haven't been able to address all this kind of all this point. I think they should have known that. So what are the constraints here? We need to know your constraint, or whether you don't have this concept on workability, on the capacity, how to calculate it. I don't know whether it's knowledge gap or institutional constraint on the part of Transport Department and other related departments in solving this problem, because I think most of the recommendations are quite logical and obvious.
Thank you, Carlos. Then we go to the next questions, and then we have some responses, and then have the second round of questions. Nick, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is a very useful exercise in terms of identifying, if you like, the challenges and issues involved. I mean, indeed, these are challenges and issues that apply to not just Timsah Cui, but to many areas of the waterfront with which we're concerned. So I think having a pilot, if you like, or having a specific case study is useful in focusing on how we address these issues and challenges. Yes, you may question, if you like, the measurement methodology. You may wish for that to be more robust, but I think what they've identified are fairly common sense issues, if you like, in terms of the what needs to be addressed and faced. I think my question is more, and this is why it's useful having TD with us, I think, is with regard to feasibility and practicability. Creating crossings at grade is relatively easy, if you like. I mean, obviously it means traffic management and the like, but creating and extending the underground network, we know how challenging that can be in terms of existing services and existing infrastructure. So how practical is it to extend the underground network in the way that Paul is suggesting? And then a further question I've got, which TD may not be able to answer, but I think we should be probing. Oshel Terminal, as you know, has just been granted a new lease, and I think I understand that negotiations are still ongoing in regard to the detailed terms. It seems to me that it's an ideal opportunity to improve connectivity along what is, I think, described here as Gateway Road or Gateway Drive. I mean, one of the weaknesses we have, will have in the future, is getting from West Kowloon to Timsah Cui. And at the moment, people are going to have to thread their way through the infrastructure, the existing development, if you like, to get there. And it seems to me that we should be pressing for government as part of these negotiations to try and enhance public access along that particular area of waterfront. If we don't do it now, we're going to have to wait another 21 years. And it seems to me it's an ideal opportunity to push home the case for public access along that waterfront. And maybe TD, if they don't know, could take that away and come back. Thank you.
Thank you. So may I have the response of Transport Department first, and then from the team? You want to raise it here? Okay, Peter.
Thank you, Chair. I echo, to a certain extent, what Professor Lowe was saying. I was thinking myself, as what would I do as a normal tourist coming to Hong Kong? And unless I want to make an appointment, there's no point for me to go to Marco Polo Hotel directly to K11. Then I look at Venice. Venice is always not very connected. You go all the side streets, you know, before you get to St. Marco's Square, nor the lower Manhattan in New York. I mean, if I, walking from Piccadilly Circus in London to Oxford Street, the easiest way is Regent Street, but then I'll miss the chance going to New Bond Street. So whether do we want our city, in that I'm talking about, being all properly connected? Now, I think we are a harbourfront commission, so we would likely encourage people to go to harbourfront. Yes, we want to get them to the harbour, but whether do we want to get them within the Timsah Cui itself? Then it's the question is, do we want to solve this conflict? Whether this is a concept of what we want to look at as ordering tourists myself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Is it related, Leslie? Maybe perhaps we can address it. Okay, yeah.
Well, this follows from Carlos and Peter's comment. Well, mapping is a hot topic nowadays. I think this is an exercise that put mapping into the practical area, which I believe is very much useful and worthwhile to pursue it in further. A number of comments is that one is that in the analyzing of the multi-layered of information, I think there might need to be a better, more comprehensive analytical and optimization methodology to be developed, because there are a lot of other issues that are involved other than simple shortest and longest distance. And that goes to the concept of quantitative and qualitative approach. Well, quantitatively, I mean measurably distance, which is the shortest, is of course the best. But one other thing, well, capacity is also a measurable thing. However, the other that is qualitative is the experience. Right. If I, for example, in America, you can, in the old days, you can drive through a highway or drive through a scenic parkway, which is much longer and tedious. But people would go that way if they are not in a hurry. For example, if I'm visitors, I would definitely go for the more better experience than the shortest distance. Right, which will mean that if we look into that particular instances. The visitor most likely, if they do have a knowledge of the network and what is the better streets, they would go through the better looking streets and more enjoyable streets rather than taking the shortest distance. So I think this might be a shortcoming of the research for the time being, but it also opens up an opportunity. Is that, well, this is the most enjoyable experience of going to the waterfront, and we might want to really elevate that experience, or we identify little links that will shorten that experience by a wide margin, and then we improve that little link to be much more enjoyable. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Leslie. So let's hear from Transport Department first, in particular, your constraints and the feasibility stuff.
Thank you. thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members' comments. And also thank you for Paul, his presentations. So in response to the comments and views just heard, I just want to respond with a few main areas as follows. Firstly, everybody knows that Tsim Sha Tsui is a built-up area, very busy, and we got so many pedestrians, including visitors and traffic. And so it's everybody. And at present, there's little spare space for new road or pavement. And also because of safety and convenience concern, there was quite a number of great separated crossing or passageway, like subways going through. From the hinterland all the way to the waterfront. So at the moment, the capacity is a main concern in the area. Everybody may have the idea of that. And second thing is we have already, the present network has already provide an adequate connectivity and the convenience for the public, including the visitor, to access the Harbour Fund, as far as this task force is concerned. Now, second thing is about the some great crossings mentioned by the second presenter on the two locations. One is in front, South Barracks Road in front of Peninsula Hotel, and the other is Kowloon Park Drive at Peking Road. So, used to be a great crossing over there, but they were now replaced by more safe and convenient subway. What I mean is because at great crossing at that position, again, because of capacity concern and road safety concern, cannot be provided. First of all, the Salisbury Road and Nathan Road is extremely busy. Any additional pedestrian crossing will create quite a lot of significant traffic gridlock. And particularly on Kowloon Park Drive, it's all very, very busy and the vehicle speed is fast from a down ramp of adjacent flyover. So these high risk of accident have a certain amount of bearing on the consideration of the need of the earthquake cross, need of and separate grade crossing there. So we still consider the replacement subways here are both safe and comfortable for working environment according to busy road and quite polluted air condition around there. And as far as the concern about the subway connection or MTR tunnels going connecting to the waterfront, as distributed in the A4 page on the MTR station layout, just distributed, you can find there was already an exit J near the so-called department store, which will be able to provide a convenient access over the area, particularly for easy access to the tourism's spot area, so-called department, also on the Avenue of Star area. And the next point is, yes, the for extension of the underground networks proposed by the by the second presenter, yes, we have a difficult experience in other areas of urban development. We got the underground situation of an intensive infrastructure development and also utility installation, which will be difficult to plan and implement. But in fact, the situation in the Nathan Road, the difference is there was already an existing subway provided by MTR stations all the way to the waterfront. So there was already a feasible route for that purpose. So we further addition of that kind of infrastructure needs careful considerations. And also on the destination origin analysis, that's OD assessment. So it's never an easy thing to do, because there's quite a lot of pedestrian behavior and what purpose people are doing. So I agree and I concur some of the members' view that the analysis may need a more detailed enhancement or improve before it could be referenced as a useful reference material for further investigation. So, for instance, I just quote the timing that they are quoting. As far as the visitors' concern on the walking, at the start of the PowerPoint, they said walking is good for health. Walking is good for health, right? That means more walking, unless you extensive long, it should be good. So the difference between the shortest route and the next best walking one is about, and even the visitor, it's only 3 to 4 minutes. And I think you still need to, of course, more data to support that, but 3 minutes as a tourist, right? Particularly they want to see around the area. They are not particularly, and we are not sure the origin and destination relationship characteristic for that group of visitors. So I think we need more detailed analysis or more thinking of that kind of analysis, because it could be put for any references. And I can also respond to the planning of a great separate network. I think we don't have much strong view on this. So far, you could provide a better identification. So we don't have any strong view on that. About the barrier-free, I just want to emphasize that it is government and TD's policy. It is transport department policy to provide barrier-free to the needed. We have a good design guideline behind for this one, so that should be no much problem. It mentioned about in the bullet say that some remoted such as lift repair should be bilingual, but since bilingual is generally a practice in Hong Kong, I don't know if there should be any exceptional case. Please let me know.
We'll send you the picture.
You send me a picture, right? I'll follow up for you. Yeah, that's quite that's not uncommon. That's quite uncommon for that. And about the mapping and the sign, I think yes, I think the need for consistency is important because not only for local pedestrian, the visitors from overseas are more concerned about their direction and how to steer their way along the or along to the destination, right? That's but the photograph showing the four signs with all the north differences are not transport one sign. I'm sorry, they are MTR signs and tourism signs. So I think yes, we will try to talk with these parties to see whether they can do any improvement for any consistency or that. But from a pedestrian point of view, a unified approach may be more beneficial than different types of representation system, right? So, thank you, Chairman. That's what I want to respond.
Okay, Simon and Paul, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, first of all, I need to thank you all for the comments. Those are all very useful comments for us to move forward. Now, secondly, I want to clarify another thing, and that is now the recommendations that we've made here in this presentation as well as in the final report, which is in the process, is not what we think must be done in Hong Kong, but based on our observation, we believe that this is the next steps for us to start our next round of discussion in society or, you know, in a committee like yourself. So those are not final recommendations. Secondly, I mean, I don't think Civic Change or Designing Hong Kong can say that we will come up with the best solution or recommendations and you have to agree with us. I think this is the beginning of what I consider an engagement process with all the stakeholders in the various districts. For example, in this case, in Tsim Sha Tsui, we went out, did our survey. We come up with some issues and some suggestions, but local people may have better ideas or better suggestions than we do. So this is just something in a suitcase that we would like to bring into the districts, and then we will engage the people and to find out what we should do at the end to improve the entire situation. So you may or may not agree with some of the recommendations, or you may or may not agree even with the way we conducted our survey, but that's not important. I think the key for us is just something like this, and that is to raise awareness, to provide information or at least some talking points for us to move on and to improve the situation together. So this is something that I must say as project manager, because I think the idea of having this research is not to say that this is the end product and then we have to do something after that. Actually, this is just the beginning. And we therefore welcome all your comments and recommendations, and then we can move forward together. Now, specifically, I would like to respond to one key question that a few of the members has raised, which is, the definition of what, I mean, in terms of walkability, what are we talking about? Now, I think, I believe that there are two different approaches to look at walkability. One is, the functional approach of walking. We want to get from one place to another, another that is from the origin to destination in the most efficient and the quickest manner. And so that's, what I said, like a corridor of a flow of people. We want to get from A to B very quickly. And secondly is a more active or activity-based kind of approach, which is we have to be very concerned, or we try to do our best to improve the to improve the experience of that leg of walking. And with these two different approaches, then we will come up with different tools or methodologies to improve the situation. In the first cases, if we are talking about a functional approach and we want to get from A to B quickly and safely, then we have to consider obviously the capacity of the walkway system or the walkway that we have to construct. We have to consider direction, signage, so on and so forth, so that people can move from one place to another very quickly and efficiently. But if we are talking about the second approach, and that is about the experience that we want to keep or to enhance in order to attract more people to go into that area and spend a lot more time there, then we have to think about, you know, what are the entertaining elements, or you know, what are the heritage elements that we can keep in that area, or what are the new elements that we can introduce to that area to make it more fun, to make it more vibrant. And these are the good things that we should be able to introduce to attract more tourists or even for local people to go there. Now, maybe Chiang Sha-Chue is not the best example to show that, but if you think about Mong Kok, actually we are facing the two different kind of, well, actually we're facing the dilemma. If you imagine the elevated walkway system from central Mong Kok to Mong Kok East Station, now this is what I call the functional approach, and that is everyone during office hour, the peak hour, I mean, they want to move very quickly from the station to Mong Kok or vice versa. And if you are not in a rush, you don't want to go up there because there's nothing, there's boring. You would rather stay at street level because that's where all the activities are. That's the vibrant part of Mong Kok, and that's why Mong Kok is so famous. So the ground level is for the activities, is for the active approach, and the ground level is where the tourists would, you know, like to go because it is so interesting. There's so many things happening there. There's so much activities. So if we use Mong Kok as an example instead of Tsim Sha Tsui, then we can kind of understand how to improve the walking experience or to enhance walkability with that dual approach. And I think that is very important because the two different approach actually require us to do something very differently. But also to, I mean, at the same time, improve the entire experience and to make it more efficient. So, I mean, I hope I can kind of explain, you know, what we think of walkability, and with the dual concepts, we actually have a lot to do, to be honest. And for the other questions, I think I will leave it to Paul to answer.
Yeah, so just if I could pick up on some of the issues raised, what is walkability? When you take the U.S. scoring system and you apply that to Hong Kong is extremely walkable because you don't need a car to get anywhere. And the moment we ask questions to tourists, then indeed, tourists are not as sensitive to a loss of time because they having to go up and down and so on is part of their experience too. Oh yeah, I was in Hong Kong and there was all these tunnels and walkways and so on. The most critical people are your local tourists. The person who lives in mid-levels and goes to a show in a cultural center and wants to be there at 8 o'clock and finds himself wandering around the tunnels not knowing where to go. The entire research team was taken to this particular point on the map in the tunnel here and was asked to take the group to the cultural center. The entire research team are Hong Kong residents, but not living in Tsim Sha Tsui or working in Tsim Sha Tsui. Nobody in the team knew how to get at this point in the tunnel to the waterfront. Nobody. And there was more than 100 years of experience of living in Hong Kong in that team. I was the only Guai Lo in that team, or no longer, but... anyway, so anyway, let me put this out. Now, in terms of at street level, we spend a lot of time on this corner here. And there is a constant flow of people lost at this junction here, standing at this corner here at the Peninsula and Nathan Road, trying to wonder how they go across. Every minute, there is somebody looking the way. There are 6 signs telling you what to do. They are completely lost and confused at this point. This is your main crossing point. These are some of the observations. We want to deal with them or we don't want to deal with them. So I leave those observations with you. From a research that we cannot quote right now because it's still subject to an embargo by Hong Kong U because I haven't finished my – you haven't given my exam results yet, Professor. so I can't. We couldn't take this along today, but we have research done in terms of the on the experience, and you can see that people prefer to walk at street level, and except for when it rains, then people would have love to have an alternative option. So having the combination of the two would create great value. Now, the quality of our street level and the quality of the subway then comes into play. How comprehensive is it? If you just use the subway to get and cross one road, you have to do a level change and another level change to get where you want to go. So then you have a lot of loss of time and you have wayfinding problems. But if you have a comprehensive network at both levels and they work very well at both levels, then you have a very high quality experience. And so then the question is, how do you measure that? Willingness to walk longer is your first one before taking public transport. And then the second one will be an ability to be able to walk further in the time that you are willing to walk. So those are two very specific measurements you can do. And again, I mean, as Simon says, we don't have the money or the resources to do all this comprehensive research. What we try to do is get your attention to some of the problems we have identified. In Chimsai Choi, we did not find a capacity problem. What we find at Chimsai Choi is a connectivity problem. We don't find a capacity problem. In Mong Kok, we find a capacity problem. In Maoshan, there's certainly no capacity problem. So, you know, in going through these different areas, we have identified some of the issues. Definitely with Peter, we agree. There's the issue of functionality and direct connectivity. There's the issue of convenience. So how do you overcome level changes, weather protection, and wayfinding? And there is the issue of enjoyment, seats, and what can you do? In subways, in general, are not very fun. TD sent us a note to say that they have placed advertisements on the long side of the walls to make them more fun. We don't think that subways are made fun by putting advertisements. But so we have to look at these three basic levels. On the issue of measuring capacity, there are systems to do that. Level of service can be calculated. You can count traffic. When we've asked TD for the information, they don't have it. We don't do pedestrian research in Hong Kong. We know what we want in terms of capacity bridges, and we give set specifications, but there is no detailed pedestrian measurements going on by TD. We don't have a pedestrian strategy, and we don't have the measurements to help us to make those decisions. So you've identified a problem. We fully agree with you. We can't solve it. We don't have the money, but you've pointed the finger to the right place. In terms of the West Kowloon Cultural District connectivity, ocean terminal, the connections between ocean terminal and China ferry terminal, it's an issue that I'm not sure it can be resolved, and it's, somebody else will have to look at that. The three points that we really have hope that can be resolved is the crossing at grade at Nathan Road to go across to Salisbury Road. There is spare capacity in the junction, and the TD will just have to give that up at least for some time until it really becomes a problem. The connection at Kowloon Power Drive is probably something to be considered. Extending the network at the underground level, it should be looked into. It can be looked into. There are possibilities, and TD is aware of it, but there are issues about how we're going to fund it. And as we have asked New World to build the first set of tunnels and to feed the SOGO station, if we build one next to it, New World may not be happy. But I think to just assume that because we have a lot of tourists there, they don't mind. I don't think that is sufficient of a reason not to really consider how to improve the network. The most immediate issue in front of us is really the information system. How do we design and upgrade the branding of the tunnel network, the subway network? How do we make sure that people can find their way easily? How do we create landmarks in the tunnel networks? How do we get the right naming? How do we get the right naming for the exits and for the tunnels themselves? I think this requires somebody to spend money. Again, we're not having the money. We're not going to do it. We're highlighting an issue. This committee agrees that there is a real concern, and a TD even mentioned that they have concerns too. So if there's a real concern, somebody has to say, okay, how are we going to find a solution? Where's going to get the money? Who takes the lead? Are we going to ask the MTR to take the lead? Is TD going to take the lead? Is an external party like the Harbourfront Commission to take the lead? Somebody needs to take the lead, otherwise it will never be resolved. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Yes, I can see that, you know, we have spent quite a lot of time on this, but I do think that this is an important topic that we would have to spend more time on. I can see some hands raising up already, but before we proceed, perhaps I can jump in, because I also want to raise two important issues, especially in relation to what we have discussed. Whether it's functional or whether it's activity-based, Hong Kong is not the only city doing walkability study, and there's a very wide range of international literature on this, and I must admit that I'm not just talking about passion, I'm also, you know, this is also one of my key research areas, and actually I have a research paper on this in Environment and Planning B in the next coming issues, and I agree with some of the members. This shortest route is just one of the more than 30 indicators that we use for walkability. So if members feel like it, then you may also like to have a look. And of course, as researchers, we are all open and we want to gather different things together to look at it. This is an important topic. But the other thing is in your presentation, one of the things that you mentioned would be to look at, you know, district pedestrian network rather than just a station based pedestrian network. I want to emphasize also that pedestrian and station based pedestrian networks are very, very important, especially in the case of Hong Kong, because we are not just talking about walking. A lot of people are going there by metro stations and so on. Just on this particular issue, we have to look at, you know, integration of different transportation modes. And actually, my PhD student, Dr. Lam, has just won an international award on this, on the integration of different transportation modes using walking. So that would be another paper that members may like to have a look as well. So I think these are very important, you know, walkability and how members of this commission would have a broader view of it. And the second thing I want to raise is, I think Leslie has also mentioned about this, is the mapping system. Now, this is one of the things that perhaps I would disagree with the recommendations of the team, that north is north, because we have different spatial scales. If you're looking at a global map and its city map, perhaps we need to be there. But when we are looking at this from a pedestrian point of view, it's more important to say where you are, what you are facing. Right? That is very important. And north may actually, if I'm facing south, north may actually be behind me. If I see a map that is completely reversed, that may not be very friendly for those who are not so map literate. Just to illustrate, okay, because last time we have been talking about these walking trips, okay, on the waterfront that all of you would have received. And this is exactly what we see. This is from the Tsim Sha Tsui waterfront. You are facing south, that is Hong Kong Island. The north arrow is here. It's not pointing south. It's not pointing, you know, upward to the north. So I think perhaps this is also one of the considerations. At the micro level, we do need maps that orientate people from what they are seeing, right, instead of, you know, just from the scale of a more macro scale. So I can see that actually Tom have a comment. So after Tom, then I think Franklin, and then YY, please. And then Peter Cogan-Smith. We will come to the answers in a minute, okay?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Firstly, thank you so much for the presenters and for the work that's gone in behind it. There's a lot of very interesting work and enlightening work in what is certainly a key issue for Hong Kong. I very much commend their work and encourage further research in the area. Now, I am, personally, my profession is an economist. I'm an economist. I look at all issues from two key angles. One, is there a problem? Two, if there's a problem, what's the best solution? And does it provide net benefit and value to Hong Kong? On the first question of is there a problem to be solved, we've heard two competing views from Civic Exchange, Designing Hong Kong, and a number of members around this table. They claim there is a problem. From Transport Exchange, from Transport Department, they've described the situation as adequate. So clearly there isn't a problem in their mind. I would like to first ask upon what metrics does Transport Department gauge whether a situation is adequate or not? How do we measure walkability in Hong Kong? What are your key performance indicators for getting people from point A to point B? And as a rhetorical question, at what point does the system become inadequate if it currently is adequate? On the second point of what's the best solution, the suggestion of a crossing across Salisbury Road has been raised. On this point, we've been told that the roads are currently too busy to allow such a crossing. So again, I would ask, how does Transport Department currently weigh the competing claims of vehicle traffic versus pedestrian traffic? How does it determine which one should have priority based on which determine it based on who provides best value. And has Transport Department ever studied the cost and benefit of the competing claims of pedestrian and vehicle traffic? Thank you.
Franklin, please.
可以主要用廣東話講啦，係啊，咁啊，就想講一講，因為其實我想講嘅嘢唔係關於功能性嘅，即係嗰個隧道嗰個行人喺隧道行嘅時候咧，好多時就會。 我相信喺設計嘅時候咧，好多時就話點解要有隧道咧？就因為個地面原本啲行人同啲車一齊行嘅時候咧，就發覺地面俾車霸咗啦。咁因為要照顧車，車就冇辦法起一個隧道嘅系統咧，可以解決到佢嗰個問題。咁所以一個地面俾翻啲車用，就揾另一個層咧，就係另一個 layer 啦。頭先啊，阿Paul嗰邊都有講啊，multi-layer。咁一係就升咗上去，一係就跌咗落去。咁喺跌咗落去地底嘅嗰個 層嗰度嘅時候咧，就會發覺咧，就因為有好多嘢已經起咗啦，咁所以咧就有個局限喺度啦，就只可以做聚集，就啱啱夠闊俾人過，就啱啱好係照顧到嗰個功能上嘅需要咧，咁就完啦。咁所以咧就計可能即係如果喺運輸署嗰邊嘅角度睇咧，就計到啊啲行人冇問題啊，全部疏通到啦咁樣，咁跟住就覺得解決咗。 咁喺尖沙咀呢一度咧，嗰個問題係咩咧？其實有一個 point 咧，就係阿 Paul 嗰邊講咧，就話咧，就喺半島酒店嗰度咧，點解有咁多人會喺嗰度迷失咗，就過唔到馬路？就因為咧，大家個 map 咧，其實係根深蒂固又好啦，就咁睇個 map 又好，係其實睇到路面嗰個 map 嘅，明明嗰度有條路，望都望到啦，嗰個地方點解去唔到咧？就因為個 map 其實已經喺個腦裏邊，咁於是咧就 會去到嗰度就啊得啦，我喺度我上咗地面就應該過到去啦。咁於是啲人就想明明行緊隧道嘅都上咗地面，上咗地面咧就發覺嗰度咧，咦原來係原來喺地面又過唔到，於是又要揾翻條路咧就喺個隧道裏邊過。咁嗰樣嘢咧其實你改變唔到，因為嗰個嘢根深蒂固啊嘛，即係大家個 map 係以地面做標準嘅，然後嗰個路面上邊天橋嗰個 map 啦又好，地底個 map 你俾個 map 佢咧，佢都未必記得嘅，記嚟記去都係記咗路面嗰個。咁所以呢一樣嘢就需要。 需要處理，即係唔係話純粹功能性。我喺左手邊又有駁到嘅隧道，右手邊又有駁到隧道，應該咧就照顧到。即係如果行慣咗咧，就會知。因為即係頭先阿 Paul 嗰個例子咧，即係話喺中環點樣去溝通 centre 睇一個表演最快嘅方法。我係試咗好多次，就發覺咧，我其實頭兩次咧都行錯咗嘅，都係又係上咗去，跟住又要打橫揾一條路咁。咁所以呢個真係好有趣呢一樣嘢，因為其實係關乎到唔係純功能性嘅，而係即係同 個記憶有關啦，同你使用嘅習慣有關啦。咁另外再一樣嘢就係話，如果隧道喺設計嘅時候咧，係可以唔單止照顧到功能性嘅需要咧，我自己覺得呢樣嘢都好緊要，因為始終會有可以取代到咧，就係你望到個天或者感受到周圍嘅環境，而你一路行咧就去到海邊又好，去到你想要嘅地方又好，而唔係咧一個功能性就話睇到一個牌，我行一條隧道，咁我行完咧就去到嗰笪地方，咁你中間嗰個感覺咧就好差。 即係無論行只係5分鐘好，10分鐘好，你中間只係一條隧道咁樣去俾人行咧，咁嗰個感覺係哇做到好。咁如果舉個例子，我自己有經驗，我覺得即係譬如喺新宿嗰個站，你一路行去佢嗰個市政廳嗰度咧，佢係可以做到咧。你雖然係喺唔喺車嗰個 level 嗰度行，但係咧佢係喺上邊咧會開好多嘅窿又好啦，天窗又好啦，甚至成個 open 嘅地方好咧，係俾你咧 感覺到上高一層咧，就係有呢個自然光啦、自然嘅空氣啦咁樣樣。咁你一路行過去嘅時候咧，亦都係比較闊落。咁周圍咧有 activities。咁所以即係唔係一條隧道咁樣樣行過去，就純功能性嘅隧道。咁如果第時再 plan 啲新嘅區嘅時候咧，亦都可以參考喺巴黎嗰度咧。我自己覺得做得好咧，就係佢嗰個新嘅商業區嗱 d a f o n s 咧，就係佢係將兩浸咧係分開嘅。咁啊，反為咧就將啲 車咧就撳低咗喺隧道嗰度，因為其實啲人搭緊車咧就唔需要去感受外邊嘅環境，所以可以擺嗰啲車嗰啲火車嗰啲就喺地底嗰度，而人行嘅地方咧就喺個地面嗰度啦。咁其實咧佢實際上做咗咧就係咩咧？就只不過喺個地面嗰度起多一浸就成浸咧就愛嚟俾人行嘅，咁所以嗰個感覺咧就會好好多啦。咁嗰陣時候即係希望即係如果 尖沙咀應該未必做到呢一樣嘢咧，但係咧就我自己覺得，如果揾機會可以啲隧道係做得好啲，有多啲天然光啊，又可以有多啲活動喺嗰、那個經過嘅地方嗰度發生嘅話咧，就會好好多。
Thank you, Franklin. YY.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, I want to share my personal experience lately because I had the privilege of using the subway system from the cultural center to K11. Actually, you know, I was involved in the planning of K11. I should be very familiar with the subway system, you know. But still, you know, it took me a while to figure out what's going on. And it was a very interesting experience because, you know, you really have to negotiate all these tunnels because they are tunnels. You have no bearing with, you know, like what's going on the street level. So, you know, like, I saw many tourists actually. They were, you know, looking at the signage. And they were discussing what is it? Is it going interesting? Is this, you know, what we like to go? And then they said, oh, because the level difference, you know, we have to go up and down. No, forget about it. Actually, I saw, you know, quite a lot of tourists, you know, they were talking, you know, whether all these tourist attractions are worth going because they were carrying lots of bags, shopping bags. So they don't want to go up and down. So I think this is one point we really should bear in mind. Tsim Sha Tsui is a major shopping area. And many tourists, after shopping, they want to, you know, like go to like hotels and coffee places. But because of, you know, all this problem with the access, they, you know, like they probably would give up and go back to the hotel. But, you know, this is exactly, you know, what I saw when I was going through the tunnel. And also, you know, I share with Paul, you know, like I was actually in a number of occasions trying to take the MTR and get off at Tsim Sha Tsui and rush to the cultural center because I was really, you know, tight for the show in cultural center. Because, you know, the shows, they open at 8 o'clock and they would close, you know, the door so you can't go in. So I was really frustrated. I think, you know, like, of course, you know, like you can say that, oh, you know, we have provide for the connection, and but if you are not familiar with the area, you lose time, and it is the frustration. And how do you put a cost on frustration? I don't know. But this is a cost to the quality of life. And I have to say that, you know, the MTR connection at Tsim Sha Tsui to the cultural center, there is a lot, you know, I think a lot, there should be some improvement to the connectivity. Because, you know, like, I think you have to take some steps. You cross some tunnels, and then you have to take some steps. And then, so, you know, by the end of, because I was rushing, and then when I saw those steps, I thought, you know, like, why do we have to go up these steps after a long walk in the tunnel? And then after those steps, there are also, you know, another length of pedestrian way we have to negotiate. So actually, I think it is not only the connectivity, it is also the directness and also the frustration. If you don't give the pedestrian a direct access, you know, like the pedestrians will experience frustration. As you know, like Franken mentioned, I think in Hong Kong, the problem is planning of connectivity, pedestrian is always second place, you know, like they will always place first priority for vehicular access. But I think in area like Tsim Sha Tsui, where there are a lot of tourists, and I think this is something I think perhaps we should bear in mind that, you know, pedestrian is an important element in the planning of overall pedestrian access.
Thank you, YY. Peter?
Could we just have the previous plan on where we had the big red line going across there? Yeah. Well, I agree with everything Simon and Paul have said, actually. I think we're staring here at a plan which in the most direct way illustrates the essential problem. It's a devastating indictment of what we've actually done in Hong Kong, where we've managed to completely separate the old core matrix of streets in Tsim Sha Tsui from the waterfront. And we should be ashamed of ourselves looking at this plan. You know, it's happened here because we've got our priorities wrong. And it just shows what a good job Hong Kong has made, even in recent years, of making pedestrian connectivity as difficult as possible, and how little this subject has been taken into account in overall planning. As we all know, planning and urban design is rarely taken into account in terms of highway planning. Nevertheless, you know, the previous plan that we had on a moment ago, underpasses are really not nice, and they will never be in terms of urban experience. And although some of these have lifts, going up and downstairs is not a terribly great urban experience either. What we do need and what we haven't really got is a comprehensive exercise, as the speakers have already made clear, that stitches together parts of Tsim Sha Tsui, and rather than always sort of fighting this rearguard action, resolving this emphasis, I think, really lies at the heart of what this task force really should be about. And so I think we should make strong recommendations. And please, no more engaging the people. We know what the problem is. What we want is properly thought-out solutions. You know, yesterday we had a long meeting with Barcelona representatives, including planners and politicians, mainly politicians, in fact, who've met this problem head on, and they've put the pedestrian first, not second. And we have to take this seriously, because if not, we're not doing our job. The tourism board, I'm very sad to say, I think seem to be almost oblivious to this issue as a problem, and I do agree with YY. I bump into tourists all the time and go out of my way to actually help them. But I've also had experiences recently walking through Tsim Sha Tsui. You can see dozens of tourists who are completely stuck. My brother was here a few months ago and came back with exactly the same thing too. I mean, you know, people do get lost there easily, and they get quite infuriated. Lastly, I'm very sorry, Madam Chairman, but I feel I have to disagree with you about maps facing north. I think actually the one way that we do get that's fundamental to orientation is that we always look at a map the right way up, no matter where we're going or whatever. North should be all maps should face north, my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members? Nick? And then Gracie.
Madam Chair, just a couple of points. First of all, perhaps Secretariat could follow up on an ocean terminal. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should lose sight of that. Secondly, I think there's a danger this exercise could get hung up, if you like, on methodology and survey, etc. And we could find ourselves debating methodology until the cows come home. To me, it seems that, you know, the rationale is fairly simple, and perhaps we don't even need survey. Perhaps we don't want to get bogged down in how you measure. The rationale, to me, is enhanced connectivity. I mean, we need to enhance the connectivity. It clearly is not satisfactory as it is. We need to enhance the pedestrian experience, and that, to me, should be enough rationale, if you like, for the exercise. And maybe, and this is a suggestion to Paul and Civic Exchange, maybe you strip out the survey, because I think you're going to raise more questions with the survey than you can answer. So maybe it's just that the rationale is we need to do things better and it doesn't work at the moment. And as simple as that. So just a suggestion in terms of how they might want to take it forward. The other thing is, I'm just echoing what Peter said, I think to me we should be looking at a master enhancement connectivity plan, if you like, and then looking at how we can enhance the experience incrementally. I mean, clearly, there are a whole range of issues to be addressed, and I would have thought we should be coming up with the master plan, but then working out what are the priorities and how we can improve the situation incrementally, because clearly it's what Paul has produced is a major shopping list. But there's some things that could be dealt with, I think, fairly easily, and others are more complicated. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Gracie?
Thank you, Chair. If members like, we can advance the walking tour and walk around the target area in Tsim Sha Tsui so that we can all have some common experience. After all, it's pretty personal experience of going through the system. Some may find it easy, some may find it difficult. We can stand the heat and the threat of typhoon and rain, I'm sure. I heard TD saying that it's willing to pursue further discussions with MTRC and Tourism Commission. Our harbour unit will also join. And let's make it a broader topic, not limited to just perhaps signage, but as members suggest, information system. And I'm sure there's a lot of knowledge amongst our unofficial members. But let us make a start. I'm sure there are also loads of maps already available for tourists. Let us go through them as well, in addition to the MTRC map or whatever map easily available. Let's take an overall look. And because of a commitment by TD as well as the government to provide barrier-free access, we can also discuss amongst departments, because there will be construction work, there should be construction work to implement this initiative. We can make use, let's see how we can make use of these opportunities to further improve the pedestrian network. There are constraints, and I believe some members recognize the constraints, but as there will be construction work, let's make use of the opportunity to exploit and make the overall planning better. And then just a point of information, the ocean terminal lease of land exchange has been executed. As far as I know, there's no more negotiations. That said, if there are proposals to improve pedestrian connectivity in ocean terminal and in the vicinity, we can always pursue with property owners, especially when our vision is not just Ocean Terminal and the adjacent properties at present, but also all the way to West Kowloon in future. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Gracie. Peter?
Chair, I do agree we should look at immediately how we can connect people to go to the waterfront. But whether we should go into massive enhancements or not for the whole district, I think that may take a while to look at that. But we have a task in hand. We don't want to act like in Miami, where all the hotels are blocking all the oceans. No. We got this new world complex, we can get it through. As far as the information is concerned, we might, the tourists might want to look at a certain specific places to put a map, interactive map, instead of a two-dimensional, the electronic, to give it three dimensions, where to show the tourists or a pedestrian where they should go, or develop apps for the mobile, you know, for the district, you know, just what it is. But I look at the tunnel, it's always an afterthought. And Shinjuku is different because they build a road, they build a tunnel together. I doubt we do have the chances here under all these well-built districts where they actually, the tunnel turn around. Yes, we need to a little more renovations, innovative idea how to get through the tunnel, which you get it, you get lost. Just like even in Tokyo, underground shopping area, you get lost. But I think we do have a very interesting point raised by Paul as far as the Waterfront Commission is concerned. You know.
Thank you. I would like to invite Albert to address these very specific questions before I propose how we would deal with this issue. Albert, there was a specific question being asked by Tom, that is how did TD actually consider whether a pedestrian system would be adequate or not. Can you give us some information here?
Thank you, Chairman. Transport Department has always been very concerned on the adequacy or capacity of those pedestrian facilities. In Tsim Sha Tsui area, we carry out a regular survey of the pedestrian flow at key junctions, particularly leading to individual pedestrian facilities like footbridge or subways. And from these results, we identify the level of surface in the area as far as the subway concerned and the footpaths and the footbridge concerned, they are all up to our standards. So that's what I'm quoting about adequability. I just want to add one point, Chairman, about the crossing at Nathan Road and Soares Barracks Road. What Tom also make a question on that. specifically, I would like to point out that the reserve capacity
of that particular signal eye junction will be reduced to zero or negative. If we are going to introduce and or we open a great pedestrian crossing there. So we have to look into the matter very carefully with all our internal analysis, but I'm sorry that we, at the moment we cannot entertain at that for that request on safety. I repeat, on safety ground, sorry.
Okay, thank you. I think I would just like to look at all these issues holistically, which I think that is an issue that is core to the task force terms of reference to make the harbourfront accessible and enjoyable. So I'm going to suggest something that is a little bit ambitious. Let's see whether you would agree. I think the first thing is that in the short term, we would like Transport Department to look at some of the specific details, like areas or junctions where a lot of tourists got lost and so on, to look into all these specific things, like the crossing outside the Peninsula Hotel. You have mentioned that, but we hope that you can provide further details and to look at that again, if that is, in a sense, that it's being a hotspot where pedestrians got lost and so on. And the second thing is we need to look at the information system, especially on tunnels, and I hope that members like Franklin, you have experience from Hsinchu as well as from Paris, you could send it to the Secretariat and so on, so that we could do something on it, like in the medium term in particular. We do need something in a tunnel that address issues like YY has mentioned. Tunnel is especially difficult to navigate. The last thing I think is a more fundamental, in a sense, is that it seems that we don't have a pedestrian master plan, for example, okay, within the Tsim Sha Tsui area, or that is the pedestrian strategy or surveys that TD has done. In relation to what Peter Cookin-Smith have mentioned about the development that is by ASD, as well as Nick has mentioned, development in the ocean terminal, that might perhaps give us some information on how we can develop and look at this holistically. I think Tourism Commission earlier on has also mentioned about, you know, tourist survey that is being that are being done in the Tsim Sha Tsui area, how tourism look at all these pedestrian issues. And if the harbour unit, as Gracie has just mentioned, would like to also be involved in gathering people from different departments so that we can look at pedestrian connectivity and that of a pedestrian master plan in Tsim Sha Tsui, I think that would perhaps be the way to go, and we can identify Tsim Sha Tsui as the key areas for our next, or the one after the next task force meeting. So is that agreeable? Okay, right. So thank you very much for all the presentations, which has been very useful. So I think we will take all these issues forward and try to move ahead. Thank you very much. Thank you. So meanwhile, as this is something in progress, members, if you do have views, information, etc., please try to feed in through the Secretariat.